This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Events, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here is your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 11 of your home for everything modern day wrestling. And that includes the Ant family and that cotton belly guy in Chikara. This is Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your soothsayer, Scott Criscolo. Got a fun show tonight, and we have a wonderful brand new guest joining us, making his debut on the main event. We'll introduce him last. We got a fun show. We're going to talk a little payback. I mean, we did a lot about it before the pay-per-view, and there was the reaction podcast on PlaceToBeNation.com, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it. So we'll do a little bit on that. We'll talk about Raw. We'll talk about Daniel Bryan, the future of the belts. And then in segment two, we're going to dissect the NXT roster and maybe do like a thumbs-up, thumbs-down of the roster right now and see who might be a future guy and who might be a career minor leaguer. But first, let's bring in our core three plus one. Let me begin with the Bengal of the Bayou. He did a great segment on this week's edition of The Extra Point pertaining to the NBA Finals, which the Spurs currently lead 2-1 as we record. Mr. Andrew Reich.
How you doing?
2-1, my friend. Air conditioning or not?
Yeah. I think it's hard to top maybe the best first half in the history of basketball.
Yeah.
But yeah, they pulled it off. But we'll see. Jordan Duncan is convinced that I have jinxed him.
Well, he's not on tonight anyway, so. Wait, oh, shit, he is. Next up, a PTB Nation original, one of my favorite people. His son has interesting classmates, and maybe future WWE, or if it's after the fact, TNA gimmicks. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I am great. It's a pleasure to have
Good.
You on.
Hey, Scott, I want to start with a quick game here.
Okay.
Okay, I have two names for you. You tell me which is a Chikara wrestler and which is not.
Okay.
All right. Is it the Estonian Thunder Frog or the Latvian Lightning Toad? One is a Chikara wrestler.
I think the Latvian Lightning Toad is the Chikara wrestler.
You are wrong, sir!
Ugh. Damn, now Chad Campbell won't let me come over to his house and watch it. Damn it! Oh, well. But I know that cotton belly guy, or whatever his name is.
That's right.
The third member of the Core Four with us tonight is one of my favorite people on the planet. He is a contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com, although he won't be writing much now that Total Divas is done. He is also the purveyor of Marvel.com, Mr. Ben Morse.
Scott, thanks for having me on tonight.
New show?
Just mentioned, what?
New show to watch?
Well, as you just mentioned, this is a very difficult time of the year for me. I haven't been out of the house in over a week. I've just been watching a loop of Eva Marie's greatest matches. It's a short loop.
Yeah, really?
Watched it over and over again.
All and, two matches.
But, it's actually just a GIF file.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm just glad to be interacting with people again.
Speaking of a guy who's looking forward to interacting with people, he's been just as busy. One of my favorite people, he's a Place to Be Nation Hall of Famer, and he's making his main event debut. The purveyor of the history of WWE.com, an author. And not like a Mick Foley author, but a real author. He has four books out. He's been on the Place to Be podcast. He's going to be on a future series this summer that I'm not going to mention right now. And he joins Andrew Reich down in the South, keeping things real. Welcome back and debuting Mr. Graham Cawthon. Graham, welcome to the main event.
Well, I don't know if I'm happy to interact with people. I was kind of used to not interacting with people. I don't know what to do with them now. Hi.
It's great to have you on. And
thank you.
I own two of your books. Looking forward to getting the next two. How was the process? Of course, the most recent one he did was WCW 1989 to 1994, selling like hotcakes on Amazon and elsewhere. And it is good to have you on.
Thank you.
All right. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, guys. Quickly, because we've talked about it ad nauseum on many shows here on Place to Be Nation's network. Payback happened a week ago Sunday. Quickly, let's go around the horn. Graham, the guest, I'll start with you. Your thoughts, quick thoughts on Payback.
I thought it was more fun than it looked on paper, and I thought the main event delivered, and at the end of the night, that's really all you need to ask for. Mm.
Ben, quick thoughts on Payback.
Great main event. Really enjoyed it. I watched it in spurts. I'm starting to find that the way to enjoy these pay-per-views for me is just to watch them, not live, but throughout the week. Watch like a match a day. Mm-hmm. Really digging that. Like Graham said, great main event. Really cool sleeper match with Sheamus and Cesaro. Thought Cena and Bray was as underwhelming as we thought it would be. I think they gave it a shot, but they're just – it's played out. They tried infusing a little with Usos, and, you know, they worked hard, but I thought it was a little – so, you know, good middle-of-the-road show, some good, some bad. Looking forward to, I think, what's going to be a hot string of pay-per-views coming up, beginning with Money in the Bank.
JD?
I thought, like Graham said, it was way better than I expected it to be on paper. I was kind of expecting to be bored. I don't really think any of the matches let me down. I even didn't mind the Divas match, and you know my feelings on that. Mm-hmm. The main event was awesome. I'll talk more about my feelings on the product as a whole, but I thought even the Cena Wyatt match was really good, and I even liked the Minis match. You know, really easy, and I enjoyed doing the live blog right here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Yes, yes, it was nice to have you on. We had a few guys on. Glenn Butler was on, joined us. Yeah, no, it was a good time doing the live blog during the show. Rish?
I really liked it. I thought it was going to be – I thought, like Graham was saying and Jordan was saying, I thought it was going to be a little worse going in than I thought it was. It turned out to be better than Extreme Rules. The main event was very good. I guess you could call it a blow-off. It was a nice blow-off to the to whatever that incarnation of that whole feud is. And I thought Cena and Wyatt was fantastic. I really did like it a lot. I thought – that was probably the match that stayed with me the most once the show was over, that Cena and Wyatt and the Last Man Standing. Mm-hmm. And even Brian and Stephanie, that segment with Brie, I thought that worked okay. So overall, decent show. Very good show.
Okay.
You know what I was down on with the Cena and Wyatt thing was actually exactly what you predicted, Scott. I think I'm just burnt out on Last Man Standing.
I am too. I
didn't want to watch him hang around. If that had been a standard match or a no-holds-barred or a street fight, I would have been much more into it. I just really, the line on the mat segments, I think I've had enough.
Graham, do you like that gimmick, Last Man Standing?
It kind of depends on what's going into it. The match in itself can – I think they're always going to try hard in the match, but that doesn't mean I'm emotionally invested in it. And I think with lots of other folks that have chimed in on this, I think my emotional investment with Cena and Wyatt had waned.
Right.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, three pay-per-views, that's usually how far we can go before we put it to bed.
The thing with Last Man Standing is that it's one of the stipulations that's the most closely tied with just the pure aspect of violence. Like, how much crazy stuff can you really pack into them trying to get up to the count of 10? And, you know, when you think of the really great ones, you think of like Triple H and Chris Jericho and Batista and The Undertaker and even Mankind and The Rock. They were just crazy, violent, you know, all off-the-wall type matches. I thought Bray and Cena did a pretty good job of that compared to a lot of these other ones that we've seen that weren't so good involving Cena.
Hmm. Well, you know, they came around too because 3 minutes into that match, I was hating it because I call it shotgun selling. Cena was selling like he was dead after like two clotheslines. And I'm like, is this what we're going to get? And I hated it 3 minutes in, but they came around and they really won me over. And I credit a lot of that to the Usos and Rowan and Harper too, though. Mm.
Yeah, those guys have definitely shined. And we'll talk about that now as we move on to the free TV. Of course, our next pay-per-view outing is Money in the Bank, which will be on Sunday, June 29th, from Ben's old haunt, The Hub, otherwise known as the TD Garden in Boston. And Place to Be Nation will be there. We have a little contingent, myself, Mr. Azzaro, the rest of the – a few of the other guys will be there as well. All right. Let's talk about the main storyline thing that has happened over the last two Raws or the last 2 weeks of programming or a week and a half since Payback. It actually finally happened that after a lot of dancing around and tiptoeing and conjecture and speculation, Daniel Bryan was officially stripped of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. His neck is just not ready for Money in the Bank.
And so instead of it being for the briefcase that Sunday in Boston, it will actually be for the belts itself. Do you think they knew this all? Let me start with you, Rish. Do you think they knew this all along? Do you think they were just dancing around for the suspense, or do you think they really found out at the last minute about Daniel Bryan's neck? Or do you think they knew all along he wasn't going to make it to Money in the Bank?
I think they were really holding out to see if he could actually get back in time for Money in the Bank, because I think they had the idea of having the Daniel Bryan Kane feud blow off at whatever point he would come back between Payback and Money in the Bank, and have the Money in the Bank match, the ladder match, be for the suitcase. Now, what kind of gives me the idea that they were not expecting that is that they've now kind of booked themselves into a corner where now they have to put another ladder match for the suitcase so that you can have that stipulation going throughout the months and have the ladder match for the championship mm-hmm. in place of Daniel Bryan as the champion. So I assume that they really wanted to hold on dearly to try to keep that belt on Bryan, but it got to a point where if he's going to be out until July or August, you know, I can't really blame him too much, and they had to get rid of the belt off of him and put it on somebody else. Mm.
JD, what are your thoughts on this situation?
Yeah, I think I don't think it was planned all along. I think they really thought he would be back. And my thoughts aren't really my own. I'm going to give Dave Meltzer's thoughts on it. JR posted this in the Place to Be Nation live chat today. And this really kind of what Andrew said, they booked themselves into a corner. This is a quote from Meltzer. He said, "It's been a very awkward situation after that big pop and apparent resolution of the issue. Then, for legitimate medical reasons, they felt they had to take the title away from him anyway. It rendered much of the company's key angle direction as making no sense," which is why I think that it wasn't their plan all along, because if it was, then this whole story with Stephanie hasn't made any sense. And that's why I think they really thought he was coming back.
Hmm. I don't know. I didn't mind. I think what annoyed me the most, and if you read my recap on PoliceBeNation.com, the lack of, you know, I understand kayfabe. We all do. Mm-hmm. Something annoyed me about this whole situation. I don't know why. The whole we try to get a hold of you, but we couldn't, you know, we have to tell you now. It's a big surprise. Meanwhile, the belts are hanging above the ring. Will they buy yeah, new right? ones? I mean, come on. That annoyed me. Like, they should have just said, you know, after you kicked, scratched, and clawed at our house, they should have thought more into it. I don't know. That bugged me for some reason. But I mean, I think they had no choice. I'm also not crazy about Graham. What do you think of this? I'm not crazy. The announcers are trying so hard to make this seem like a miscarriage of justice, when in reality, the logic of it is, 30 days have passed. He's hurt. Just let it go. He's healthy. He'll get it back. Do you think? Yeah, do you think the announcers were trying too hard?
The 30-day thing is only convenient when it's convenient.
I know.
It's very easy to ignore it when it's not convenient. So I think they invested so much in the past few months in Bryan. And, I mean, you can watch Rawls where he was the only guy getting the pop. Mm-hmm. And so the fans are really invested in that. And yeah. And I don't think – I think they would have bent over backwards to keep it on him, just to give him a few more weeks. But, you know, you're going into SummerSlam, which is arguably the second biggest show of the year. You've got to lay those seeds no later than Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. You've got to set up those big matches no later than Money in the Bank. And so if he can't work by Money in the Bank – You got to make a transition there. You've got to change those plans. I hate it. I feel deflated. You know, when word leaked out earlier in the day on Monday, I was actually tweeting by the time Raw started. Okay, so has Bryan won the belt back, or am I hot shotting the comeback? You know, it was really, you know, I need things to look forward to. Why am I even going to watch Raw tonight? And I'm sure I'm not in the minority there. But yeah, it's deflating.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yeah, that is a good word for it. It is deflating because they really were pumping. I mean, he was everything. You're right, Graham. There were not many. I mean, you have like the snarky pops like Cesaro and those guys who, mm-hmm. you know, the regular fans still boo because he's a Heyman guy. But the fans that aren't stupid know that he's good and know that eventually he'll probably be on the babyface side. But yeah, this was really bad, and this was really. Throwing a wrench in the mix. It's ironic because this week's WrestleMania Rewind on the network was another wrench in the mix, although this also involving an injury, and that was Shawn Michaels and John Cena at WrestleMania 23, because everybody was expecting, apparently, it was supposed to be a John Cena-Triple H rematch from WrestleMania 22, and of course that didn't happen because he popped his other quad at New Year's Revolution and didn't come back till SummerSlam. So in this instance, the same thing. Now, the only lucky thing I think they have is that they had a multi-person match in the main event, so they could kind of throw guys in. Lately, I've just – maybe it's just the announcers that have bothered me. I want to go around the horn. I'll start with you, Ben. I know I've been slamming the announcers to no end for various reasons. I thought they were way too kayfabe. And I understand that the viewership has changed slightly. But I like how like everybody got mad when Triple H just kind of bequeathed a spot in the match to Randy Orton. But then I actually liked when Michael Cole justified it by saying, well, he is owed a rematch from losing at WrestleMania, so he doesn't need a qualifier. I don't know why that I like that. Maybe it's just I'm just getting aggravated with the announcers because they just make no sense half the time. But I thought that was fine. I kind of like the fact they broke kayfabe. And said, well, not really broke kayfabe, but kind of justify that Triple H just to do it because he was a bad guy and so is Orton kind of thing. I don't know.
Well, I think they're actually – that's the opposite. They're keeping kayfabe because they're adhering – because what I'm hearing from you, Scott, is when you're talking about the 30 days thing, it's kind of the same thing. It's, all right, we know this is all a work, but we like for the rules to be enforced to give us that structure of, you know, this is why stuff happens. And that's the same thing with, oh, he's owed a rematch or, oh, he should be stripped.
Right, but my point – I'm getting it. Right, I agree. But my point – I guess let me clarify it. What I mean is they're trying to keep it so face heel that it surprised me that Michael Cole actually justified the fact that Randy Orton was just handed one of the slots without having to earn it with a qualifier. I know it sounds very minutiae, but this was one of the things that was irking me while I was watching Raw Monday night that lately the announcers have just been so over the top, like face heel, that logic is out the window. Look, Daniel Bryan's hurt. He can't wrestle. It's not a miscarriage of justice. It's just fact.
You know, so what bothers me a lot there is that typically when you have the over-the-top babyface announcer and the over-the-top heel announcer, you know, the babyface guy is someone like a Gorilla Monsoon, a Jim Ross, kind of like that old relatable guy who you're like, okay, it's cool that he's with the faces because he's not quite hip, but, you know, you love him anyways. He's like your old grandpa. Michael Cole has just never been a babyface announcer. He was obnoxious as a heel announcer, but watching him now trying to be the babyface, it just doesn't work. It's a skewed dynamic. It's the type of thing where JBL is, you know, stumping for the heels, and Michael Cole doesn't have the passion of coming back with, oh, but you know, Hulk Hogan was screwed, oh, this is a miscarriage of justice, blah blah blah. He just comes back calmly, like trying to be like, well, no, John, you're wrong about that. It's very snarky. It's very like, you know, that smart kid in class. He's very know-it-all, which makes the face-heel dynamic at the announce table just off. You don't have a pure baby-face announcer.
Well, and Jerry is just
rolling
with the punches.
Talk about,
you know? Jerry doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
isn't that the problem? Is that the two guys who are supposed to be the baby-face announcers are thoroughly unlikable?
Yeah.
If we just had a likable babyface announcer, honestly, I swear to God, he could be saying the same stuff. If Jim Ross or Gorilla Monsoon was saying all this stuff, and, you know, Gorilla Monsoon, how many times was he ridiculous in the tank for Hulk Hogan? Or
very bad. Worse than Vince a lot of times.
Yeah, or Jim Ross in the tank for Steve Austin. It worked because you liked them. It didn't matter. But Michael Cole being in the tank for Daniel Bryan, are you kidding me? Like, putting aside the fact that he was a heel 2 years ago or – the fact that
that 4 years ago he hated
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Beyond belief.
Like, Michael Cole is not the worst announcer of all time, as some people may think, but he is not that face of the company, baby face. Oh, we trust you. You're Gordon Solie. You're the guy we trust to tell us it's all right. He just doesn't have that relationship with the fans, and I think that's a big problem with the commentary.
He's not the voice of the generation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not speaking for us.
Right. Well, here's the difference.
He's no Kevin Kelly.
He's no – well, there is no Kevin. He has a heel announcer too. I forgot his name.
He's no Rob Bartlett either.
Well, Steve Carino's his broadcast partner. The guy he's working with tonight, I don't remember his name. Now, when you think of face and heel announcers, Even JBL, after a while, he's not that believable. Like, he gives up a lot. And then there's times where all three of them are giggling during the mid-card matches they're not paying attention to, which I think is even worse. Like, they're not even paying attention to the match. It's almost like those old Coliseum video things where, like, you know, Monsoon and Johnny Polo don't even know what's going on in the match. They're just throwing, like, inside jokes. Yeah. The most infamous one was, Graham may remember this, I think it's Super Tape. It was 91 or 92. Where it's that really good match that people remember between the Steiners and Brett and Owen, and they have this big brawl at the end, and Pat Patterson comes out. It's like 93, and Gorilla goes, "Hey, is that Pat Patterson? Boy, did he get fat!" Like, just out of the blue, you know. It's like weird stuff, like stupid stuff like this. Graham, what do you think of the announced situation?
I tried to tune it out. I agree. I don't think there's a strong baby face. I think. Michael Cole is not a strong. He's very good at what he does, but they're having him do the wrong thing. He's not a credible overall voice of the company. So whatever he says, you don't necessarily believe. And is in that role, you need whoever you need him to say something that you could then go, yes, that is correct. But he's been so wishy-washy, and they had him be heel, and then he's face, but then it's just all over the place. And I don't think he's credible to the point where then Jerry Lawler is the babyface and JBL is the heel.
Right.
Jerry Lawler doesn't know where he is half the time.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as he has, like, a piss bag or something, I don't even...
He's probably slipping that nitroglycerin in between the commercial breaks.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not going to finish that sentence. I'm going to let everyone else finish that sentence for me. But Michael Cole is not a credible, straight commentator guy between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of their personalities really shine through.
Mm.
And so no one benefits from that.
Right. So – they have set most of the matchup for the Money in the Bank, the ladder match at the pay-per-view, which right now is for the title, although now we're hearing that they're going to add a second ladder match, because you need to have you can't go the whole year without a briefcase. That kind of
exactly.
That's a crutch that they can lean on for about
That was the first thought I had when they put the belt on the line. I said, okay, now we got to have another ladder match for the suitcase.
Yeah, they got to have a suit. You can't not have a briefcase all year. So the first slot was filled by Alberto Del Rio, who won a qualifying match last Friday night on SmackDown, although he's obviously not going to win because he's not supposed to be sticking around past.
It was on Raw. Yeah, I don't want Ryan Schmock correcting us, please.
Who the hell is Ryan Schmock?
Alberto Del Rio. I'm gonna put that in the open.
He's in Chikara.
He's Cotton Belly Thunder Frog's partner.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I could have sworn they said Friday night on SmackDown.
They did say it. It was wrong.
Oh. Yeah.
He beat Ziggler on Raw.
Figure those damn announcers. Then, of course, Randy Orton was bequeathed a slot. Then Sheamus got a slot by beating Wade Barrett, which was disappointing. Although I love watching those two guys wrestle, though.
Yeah.
And then the fourth slot was Cesaro, who beat RVD later on in the night. And I think there's another qualifier on Friday. I think there is one this Friday night on SmackDown.
There's a fifth one on SmackDown.
There's one on SmackDown. Let's go around the horn and get some ideas on who the last three will be. Let me ask it this way. I'll start with you, JD. Will one of the last three be John Cena?
Yeah. Okay. When you say last three, do you mean you think there will be eight guys or seven?
Well, there's seven heads. And there's
I read SmackDown spoilers, so I know who the fifth one is. So.
Okay. Well, we won't go.
Yeah, there. I won't say that because I know
that.
This goes on before that. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think Cena will be in there.
Okay.
Because he wins on SmackDown. No.
Is it Zack Ryder?
Yep.
Is it Eli Cottonwood? No. Ben, do you think Cena will be in the Money in the Bank?
Oh yeah. I mean, the only reason he wouldn't be is if he's fighting Kane, I guess.
Because
they need something for Kane to do, presumably. But actually, you know what? Now that I say that, maybe he won't be in there. sorry, JD, but I feel like it actually makes more sense.
I could see Kane being put in the match because
yeah, that's the other thing.
Because he was supposed to get a title shot anyway. Lord only knows why.
So then we see Cena, Wyatt, and Kane as the last three.
Well, where does that leave Reigns and Ambrose?
Reigns, Rollins, That's Ambrose.
Yeah, where's the Shield situation?
I think Rollins and Ambrose are going to fight each other at Wager. I think they'll hold off on the Reigns one. But yeah, Reigns gets kind of stranded. I mean, someone's going to get left out. The other scenario is they go with Bray, Reigns, and someone else.
Why is Sheamus in this match? I don't understand. Why does Sheamus have to be in every multi-guy title match? I don't get it.
Because he's super ginger.
He's super ultra ginger, but he's babyface ginger. Nobody likes that.
Because what I would call him is an upper mid-tier star. So when you have a main event that's multi-man, then having Sheamus in it, I guess makes sense if you want to bundle him up with other guys that are kind of in that main event spot. Mm-hmm. The problem with Sheamus is that he's never really been the guy to win that belt. You know, we'll talk about Money in the Bank in a couple weeks, but you know, about who's going to win the match. But you know, for Sheamus, this might be his chance, but usually it's not.
I think they've been strong the last couple weeks, like booking the secondary titles, and I wish they would just keep them having defenses. You know, I don't want to see them. Yeah.
I'm stoked about Wade Barrett as IC champ has been fantastic. You know what's funny? This past week on NXT, this is just a side note, but I just thought of it when we mentioned Wade Barrett. This past Thursday on NXT, I watched it today, when the main event was Justin Gabriel and Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
What's the hell's the play-by-play guy's name? Tom Phillips? Is that his name?
Yeah.
He rotates with some other dude, doesn't he?
Some other guy does it too. They all sound the same except for Regal.
For Regal, yeah.
And Saxton does a little bit of that too, right?
Yeah, but he sounds – yeah, they all have the same voice except for Regal.
They have the same voice.
Yeah. Anyway, one of them mentioned that Gabriel was a former Nexus member and a former Core member. I never thought either of those groups would ever be mentioned again.
Oh, yeah, man. NXT is where continuity lives.
Yeah.
Especially not mentioned in a positive aspect.
Yeah, I know, right? What do you think of Sheamus eventually turning heel, Graham? I mean, we've talked about it on the show many times. I belabor the point because I think he just wrestles better as a heel. Do you think it's going to happen at some point this year?
Well, why not?
Exactly.
I think it kind of depends on what the needs are for the company. I think right now with Brian being out, it creates more of a void on the babyface side. I probably wouldn't do it right now, but give it a few months and he's a natural heel. It's kind of like a Randy Orton.
Mm. That's the problem. The roster's so imbalanced right now that I guess they really have no choice. They've got to keep kind of guys where they are right now.
Right.
So I guess Sheamus is back to being a babyface.
That's why I think he's in the match, though, Scott. You know, you say, why is he in this match? One, I mean, say what we will about Sheamus' character. When the bell rings, he's awesome.
Oh, he is. I agree.
You know, I have no doubts that he's going to deliver. But I think they book, one, for the wider audience. But I think when they do things, they have people like us in mind. Mm-hmm. And they know there's a lot of us out there waiting for that Sheamus turn. So putting him in there, I've already seen people, and I myself have said, ooh, what if Sheamus turns heel and wins the belt? You know, just to kind of get us thinking that could happen is just a good enough reason to have him in there for me.
Right. No, that's entirely possible.
But Scott, you make a great point, and we've talked about in previous episodes about, you know, the people coming into the main event scene. And with Brian out, you know, it does expose a little bit the fact that the roster is really deep and they have a lot of good guys and they have a lot of people that are coming up into the main event and are ready to take on a bigger role. But once you get past Brian, you know, and then Cena and Orton, it's such a smorgasbord. You just don't know who's going to be able to really take over and be the next guy. Nobody really knows
yet. Well, here, I agree. Here's the problem. On the babyface side, you have plenty of faces, but the problem is they're being kind of pseudo protected because you don't want them in this slot too soon. Like, it's like, well, you have Dean Ambrose, you have Roman Reigns. They don't want to put those guys in that slot yet.
And if you face them off against one another and one of them dies out, then you're scared
then you've ruined
their push.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there's your problem. Really, who are the only baby faces right now? Cena? Well, Sheamus. Daniel Bryan, but he's not here right now. Sheamus.
Yep. Triple H.
Well, he's my baby face. That's
kind of it.
Yeah. I mean, who else is there?
Did you say Roman Reigns already?
I said Roman Reigns.
You said Roman Reigns. Okay.
Roman Reigns. Well, I'm talking about guys that could be
in
this
match.
Then
you have a big drop off with.
Oh, then Adam Rose, you know? Of course.
Adam Rose. Isn't he hurt now too? We'll talk about Adam Rose in a minute because I'm gonna make him as part of the NXT.
He got injured in a house show, I remember, but I don't remember what the injury was.
Yeah, because I was expecting. I forgot that he got hurt because when it was Swagger and Santino, I said, "Oh, this is an Adam Rose," and then I forgot that he wasn't there, and it was just a simple straight Swagger squash.
Yeah, that was a house show from hell because Cena got another eye injury, and they had to do a wide pan of Cena the entire Raw so that nobody could see his busted eye.
Oh, yeah, I kind of caught that myself. I did kind of see the interesting camera angles. Graham, they've been saying – there's a couple of sites that have been reporting that Triple H has been saying that the reason that people are not getting as many network subscriptions is because of the flow of the shows, that the flows have been choppy, storylines have been dumped and everything. I've said, as many probably have, the 3 hours is just ridiculous. What have your thoughts been – not necessarily on the quality of the shows, but the flow. Like, is it choppy? Do they have enough matches? What have you thought of the formatting over the last, say, 3 months? Pretty much, like, since the start of the year, the thought of the formatting of Raw.
I think if you were to look at, you know, the big criticism going into this three-hour format, and the only other comparison that we could really make as wrestling fans would be the three-hour Nitro. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the three-hour Nitro from 15 years ago, and that's how old we are right now, oh my God.
Yeah.
So you look at that from 15 years ago, and then you compare it to right now. I think the shows now are much stronger, much more cohesive, a lot heavier on the wrestling. They're not crazy all over the place backstage. So, you know, the argument that they aren't the argument that the flow isn't there, I don't know. I think you're probably catering to a new breed of wrestling fans that didn't grow up in that time period, and that's fair, and that's a whole different other debate. But there's probably room to make things more cohesive. But for someone that grew up during the Attitude Era and knows how bad a three-hour episode can be, when I used to fall asleep literally during Hogan Warrior segments, I'm fine with what we've been getting, because what we've been getting is usually at least two matches per week that go 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or two segments a piece. Mm-hmm. And they were, I think there was a one point or so where we were getting actually more than that. But I think that we've had weeks recently where everything made sense. Everything had a purpose. And as long as we get that, I'm cool. I don't know about the average wrestling fan.
Now, Graham's got a great point, too, like, in the comparison to those old Nitros. Like, like he just said, everything you'll see on Raw generally is leading somewhere. It's some sort of feud. It's highlighting a character. Nitro, there would regularly just be, all right, we have 80 guys on this roster. Just throw out some combination of luchadors or two guys who don't make sense. You know, you'd have, like, a Mike Enos against Jerry Flynn match. Like, we don't have those.
It's a good match.
It was a hell of a match. Main event in any arena in the country, but still, no, there's definitely a difference.
Main event on anybody's Nitro PS1 video game.
Yeah. Nitro had its great moments even when it was a three-hour format, but that was just such a different animal compared to what position the WWE is in now, where they can really do whatever they want. And then when they expanded it to 3 hours without anybody telling them to do so, it was a challenge. And I don't think they're ever really going to live up to that challenge, because anytime you have that much time frame, along with SmackDown main event, which you're trying to promote on the network, and even Superstars, you're trying to stretch all this programming out and trying to keep these storylines fresh and not, and also at the same time not make them too boring. And it's impossible. I don't think you're really capable of doing it. So it's sort of a demise of their own building. I mean, they did it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know, let me add in on this too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think it's the flow of the show that's the problem. I think it's the format. And the reason why I say that is because their format hasn't changed in a long time. When was the last time a Raw started without a 15-minute talking segment? You know, when was the last time they didn't have a 6-minute overrun? Which, why do we need overruns anymore? The show's 3 hours long and they have no competition.
In fact, if I want to say, Nitro had it right, because they would do the first hour of nothing but lower card / mid card guys, and then they would kick off all the good stuff at 8 o'clock when they were head to head with Raw. So they actually did it right, because they would still smush in all the good stuff between 8 and 10, and they'd give you good wrestling from 7 to 8.
I think the tricky thing, though, is, you know, if you were to ask me, is 3 hours too long for Raw, I would say absolutely. But then if you were to ask me, do you want them to go back to 2 hours, I'd probably say no, because I think if we lose an hour, are we going to lose that 20 minutes of talking? No, they're going to keep that. Are we going to lose the backstage segments? No, they're going to keep that. What we're going to lose is that 15-minute Sheamus Barrett match is going to be six, you know, and we're going to lose the good stuff, I think, if we lose an hour of the show. And since I watch it on DVR, it's not that – Scott, you got to review it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But,
God.
But the DVR is the greatest thing in the world, you know.
Every time you see the Hulu news and notes of what got cut, it's like half the show.
Yeah.
Like you realize looking back, like, wow, there's so much stuff that I wish I could have missed, because it really wasn't worth anything at the end of the day. Because if they're putting it on Hulu and they're cutting out this segment and this segment and this segment, you realize, okay, then a lot of that kind of was worthless at the end of the day. Even though all the segments, all 3 hours worth of it, they all build to something at the end of the day. Like Ben said, they all have a purpose. They all have a direction. It's just a matter of, are you interested in every storyline individually, and where is the payoff?
Right.
Well, and more than that, you can tune in at 10:30 and not see the beginning, because I don't know if they think we have ADD or they do themselves, but if you didn't see the opening promo, they're going to recap it four times in the 3 hours.
At least this week they only did it twice, thank God, but there's some weeks
they go way heavy on
that. At least 17 minutes, I'll say, between 15 and 17 minutes, or you can add up with them replaying the promo, you know, like 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, 12 to 13 minutes, they just recap the promo again, and it's just
Graham,
dreadful.
Graham makes a good point, too, is that I don't know if there's, like, a certain ratio or a certain amount of percentage of match time compared to, like, you know, non-wrestling.
This week was 59 minutes of wrestling.
That's a – I'm going to tell you the truth. That's a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Cena, he did an interview. He did a podcast on the Steve Austin show, and they asked him, well, what is the direction of the company? He said more action, because you can't sell interviews in India. You know, you sell wrestling, because wrestling is the universal language, you know.
That's a good point.
I agree with that. Getting back to – I just thought of something. Getting back to faces and heels, probably the guy that's closest right now to turn something is Bray Wyatt. They haven't curtailed him singing the song. They haven't stopped the crowd from singing it. They know that the fans like him. He's probably the one in line that's going to end up turning face. Now, how they do it, I could see him just one day feeling sympathetic towards somebody, seeing a different message or whatever. It's going to come down to Harper and Rowan are going to beat the snot out of him. That's probably how it's going to be. Because those guys, you got to stay heels, because they're awesome. Let's get the book. Let's pull the book out real quick. I'll start with you, JD. How would you book Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt's face turn?
You had to start with me, huh? I don't want it to happen.
you think he'll get neutered? Oh, you think they'll neuter him if they turn him full blown face?
They kind of do with all of them, you know.
He'd be a lemon.
Yeah, he'll always be a rosebud.
I don't really know. I mean, I think they just got to let it be organic and not try to change what makes the fans cheer him. I don't even know that you keep Harper and Rowan heel. I mean, you get that big guy diving outside the ring, fans are going to cheer that suicide dive from a guy who looks like Bruiser Brody, you know? I mean, I think they could get over just as well. I don't really know how to do it other than to say I would keep it organic. You know, don't change his character, because his character is what's turning him face to the crowd. Just change his motivations, I guess. Easier said than done, right?
Yeah. Ben, what do you think?
You guys are harping on the fact that they can't turn somebody babyface without neutering them, which I agree with for the most part. Except we have the perfect example from just a couple months ago, and that's the Shield. They turned babyface without losing anything that was great about their heel run. And the way they did that, they stayed exactly the same. They did what all great face turns do. Keep your character the same, just start feuding with the people that everybody hates, which in most cases are the authority figures. Uh-huh. It's an easy solution, but you just have the Wyatts run afoul of Triple H, Randy Orton, those guys. That's the easiest way to do it. Let them keep the exact same message, gimmick, everything. They're just fighting against Triple H. That's all right. The best babyface
turns. Fight the power.
All the best babyface turns are not, let's switch this character up. It's, let's keep this character and switch who he's fighting. The Rock didn't change his character. He just started fighting against Vince instead of Steve Austin, you know, and go back to like the NWA or anything. That's how you do it. And that's how I'd do it.
What do you think, Graham?
Well, going back to the Shield turn, what helped that also is you had the Shield as heels facing the Wyatts as heels, and the crowd picked who the babyface was. So the Wyatts were so strong as heels, and so they have no redeeming qualities that the crowd gravitated toward the Shield. So, yes, Bray does get cheers. I would not turn him heel. I'm sorry, I would not turn him babyface. He is so strong in what he does. And really, is he sympathetic? Could you sympathize with that character? I don't see how I could. And if I can't, then why turn him babyface?
Well, one guy you feud with that'll turn anybody babyface, and that's John Cena, pretty much. Everybody gets cheered when
he's facing. I don't want to see Bray turn babyface now, but if he's going to turn down the line, Graham, I do think you can draw comparisons to, you know, Mankind in 97. We just got to find out a little bit more about why he is the way he is. I don't think anyone
could see that
turning babyface, you know?
Yeah,
what made him this way? Because he was picked on when he was a kid, because he was a freak, he was an outcast. It's an old story, but they can do it. I think there's ways to do it. But I agree with you, and I agree with JD. I don't want to see it happen now. I think he's still got juice in the tank.
Oh, sure, he does. And I think the one big mystery out there that they could use to help with this is Sister Abigail. Just explain that a little bit, and just peel back that curtain on his character.
Spoiler alert. It's Betty White.
Well, she's not even dead, so he should be okay.
I know who it is. I think she's a nun, and she went to Deacon Batista's church. There, you start the feud with the corporation or the authority.
Well, if
Devon's unemployed, so you bring him back.
If she was with Deacon Batista, she ain't a nun for long.
Yeah, that's for sure. Before we go to break, Graham, you obviously have the network. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, and I still have my job, too. I don't know how that works.
That's fantastic.
I haven't quit yet.
What are your thoughts on it in general so far?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, get that and beer, and I'm set for the weekend.
That's awesome. There is rumors. I'm sure you were probably thrilled when the clashes went up. Seemed very, very complete.
Even the theme song and even the commercial breaks for the early ones. I love that. The bumpers before they go to commercial. Fantastic stuff.
Absolutely. And obviously I have a little inside track since they are the network runs out of my company, out of my building. Looks like we will be getting, because they're already in our servers for the stream. Looks like we will be getting Saturday night's main events very soon. So
awesome.
That'll be adding
to much. What degree?
Well, they'll probably put them all on, just like they put all the clashes on.
I don't mean the volume. I mean, you know, to what degree are we getting like the music and all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Original airing. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to pay us royalties then.
Well, they put. That's true. They should.
We're Wednesday night's main event.
Yeah. We.
But we air on what? Fridays?
Thursdays. Thursday. We're Thursday. Technically, it's Thursday night's main
event. We come on right before.
Well, come on. Saturday's main event that night was taped like 4 weeks earlier, so.
We actually outdraw Impact, too.
That's why I said we're up against Impact, and I think we're doing okay.
Impact? Who's? Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, we will. I apologize. I meant to mention this earlier. We'll get into some TNA later on, too. So that's coming up soon. What do you think of the original shows, Graham? I love WrestleMania Rewind. What do you think of that?
He's thinking.
He's still deep in thought about this Shawn Michaels John Cena match.
TikTok.
Happens. And is anyone even listening to me at this point?
No, you're back.
No, we couldn't hear you, buddy.
We couldn't hear you.
You couldn't hear me.
No.
Oh, I was talking loud.
No, but I just said your thoughts through
telekinesis.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, so answer it again. What are your thoughts on the WrestleMania Rewind show?
WrestleMania Rewind is fun. Legends House is hilarious. And just put all these old wrestlers in a room and just see what happens. It's great. I can watch all the original programming. I can just you know, anytime I want to watch SummerSlam 92 and pretend I'm 10 years old again, I can do that.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I do think that eventually when we get to the, I think the Canadian release and then the UK, I think they'll get their over a million subscriptions. I know the international's a little different, but they will get those subscriptions. And I think they'll slowly move the subscriptions. I think they'll keep coming up. I think some people think their stuff's a little too slow. Also, the fact that you can now watch it on Xbox, which I'm stoked about, you can watch it on Xbox without needing a gold membership, I think rocks. Because I was able to download, I haven't had a gold membership in a couple of years, and I was able to download it, and it's very cool. So,
are you watching on Xbox yet, Scott?
I put it on. You know what's funny? I tested it Monday night. I know, Ben, you've had your Xbox issues, but
no, well, that's why I'm curious to hear how it's working.
Here's the interesting thing. I downloaded the app, mm-hmm. Put it into the, you know, it was on my dashboard. And Monday night, Justin and I were just starting our vault, and I'm like, you know, I have a decent U-verse modem. I actually was playing Starrcade 85, and that show that while we were recording at the same time, and it sounded great. It felt there was no hiccups on the Xbox, and I didn't sound bad either, and I could hear JR, and it was so I was very pumped. Now, I know we still have stream issues.
Yeah, hiccups have gotten better. One thing I've been noticing now, because it wouldn't be a week if I didn't have a new Xbox network complaint, is the hiccups seem to be working out. Now there's this weird thing where I don't know if it's the screen resolution or what it is, especially with the older stuff, with the stuff that's not widescreen. Mm-hmm. The screen size will jump in the middle of the match, so suddenly it's closer up and they're cutting off the sides.
Oh, interesting.
Or if you're watching like an old, you know, Clash or something, it'll move all the way over to the right of the screen and then it'll jump back. So,
Interesting. Have you any? I'm about to say, Graham, have you had any issues with the live stream?
I've had a few instances where the screen will the image will freeze, but the audio will continue. And then just give it a few seconds and I'll catch up.
Okay. Yeah, I had Mania, I watched at a bar off the actual pay-per-view. Extreme Rules I was at. So Payback was the first time I was at a friend's house on the stream. And it had its moments. It stopped for like 10 seconds and then go keep going. It was during the main event, the six-man tag, where it was just the shits. It was not good. So hopefully they jacked the bandwidth up a little bit. I think that's the problem. Ultimately is. All right. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we will dive into NXT, which is coming off their big show takeover a couple weeks ago. We're going to go through the roster, and I'm going to pick and choose some guys. I'm going to go around the horn, and we're going to do thumbs up, thumbs down, meaning is this a guy who can make the main roster and succeed, or is this a guy who will either A, make it and flop, or should just stay in NXT and be a career minor leaguer like Buck Showalter or something. This is Place to Be Nation's main event. I'm Scott.
Is that Chikara guy? Buck Showalter?
Buck Cottonbelly?
The big Showalter.
The big Showalter. I am Scott Criscolo, Ben Morse, Jordan Duncan, Andrew Reich from the Core Four, and special guest Graham Cawthon from the History of WWE.com with us. We'll be back right after this.
How do you spell because?
4K.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor.
you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Goodwill Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling. Oh.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and look at the great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place Simulation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
All right, Place to Be Nation, we are back with your PTBN's main event. I am Scott Criscolo, joined by three of the four core four, Ben Morse, Jordan Duncan, Andrew Reich, and a very special guest sitting in for Steve Willey tonight, and that is the purveyor of the history of WWE.com.
Wait, I'm a substitute?
No, you are the substitute.
You're too busy to be on every show, Graham. I was actually helping you out.
Graham, you're like Road Warrior Animal. You are the mystery. Like, I hope you're wearing a hockey mask right now.
You're like James Woods, the substitute. You're a badass substitute.
Oh, good grief. All right. All right. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. And, of course, the history of WWE.com. Graham Cawthon, always a great site. And, of course, he has his wonderful book collection that's out right now. The most recent release, WCW. 1989 to 1994. All right, Ben, you kind of brought this topic up, and I'm kind of expanding it a little bit. 2 weeks ago, of course, was NXT TakeOver. And honestly, we were talking about the network in the last segment. The one thing that I've loved more than anything else, well, the clashes and the WCW pay-per-views are cool, but the one thing I've loved more than anything on the network is NXT. It's all that's enough for me. Like I've utilized my $10 a month simply on NXT because it was this hidden thing that you can only see on Hulu, and you know not everybody who goes to Hulu or nobody has Hulu Plus. So this was gigantic, and they had Arrival and TakeOver, which were two great shows, and they should just keep it up, and I think they have been. And obviously, we've had some call-ups. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go around the horn. I'm going to give each person a guy, and you tell me thumbs up or thumbs down and why. Thumbs up meaning this guy can succeed on the main roster. Because remember, now that NXT is in a seen by everybody, this isn't like OVW where you can take some guy named Prototype and just change him into John Cena, or take Leviathan and change him into Batista. You can't do that now because NXT is watched by everybody. Hardly, you know, only select few watched OVW, whether you had it lived near there or you get the tapes. But now with NXT, you really can't change a guy into something else because everybody already knows who he is by watching NXT. So I'm going to start with you, Ben. I'm going to give you a guy, and then I'm going to go around. Each of you are going to get a person, and you tell me thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs up meaning they could be a success on the main roster, or thumbs down meaning either, A, they'll be brought up and bomb, or you think they should just stay in NXT and probably be a career minor leaguer. All right, Ben, you first. Adam Rose.
Adam Rose, interesting, because I'm rooting for him. Mm-hmm. And here's why I do think he will succeed. I do not think he has so far. I think we agree on that. He has not gotten over to the degree they want him to get over.
No fault of his own.
No fault of his own. And I think he is committed enough to that character that he's going to get it over through sheer force of will. Mm-hmm. I think he's more over now than he was a month ago. But you see some guys who, you know, get stuck with a gimmick or really just give up and start to be like, oh, this isn't working. I'm just going to kind of phone it in and wait until they send me back down to NXT. The thing I like about Adam Rose is every week he's come out, even if they're not giving him a standing ovation or singing along with his music, he acts like they are. Mm-hmm. And not in a heelish way, but in a I am going to give you a performance way. And I think his commitment to this character is going to eventually get it over. Is he going to be a world champion? No. But I do think he could be a Santino-esque mainstay, kind of a mid-card comedy act. And that's not the worst thing in the world. Santino's been employed for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And he's not going anywhere. So I give the thumbs up to Adam Rose. Not the best in-ring worker, but a very interesting one. I think his matches are entertaining. And I think as long as WWE doesn't give up on him, he'll make this work.
I also think that the other reason he's not quite over yet is because he's feuding with somebody who's not over either. Nobody gives a damn about Jack Swagger anymore. And it's time to see this guy wrestle. All right, enough of the cheeseburger outfit and the bunny and all that crap. We need to see this guy wrestle, and he's good. And I think the vignettes are enough. So, Graham. Adrian Neville.
I was hoping for Tyler Breeze.
He may come back to you.
Okay. Yes. To what degree, I do not know, but the athleticism is there that he will get over. He's got, I think there's a lot of guys on the main roster that he can work with that fans would pay to see. His longevity, I do not know.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. JD. Aiden English.
I think this guy is I think this is an NXT guy. I don't see his character connecting on the main level. The thing that I love about NXT is even though it's WWE with production values, it's still at its heart almost indie wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff that works on the indie scene that does not work for the millions of people.
We have a huge example of that right now on Raw.
Yeah, you know, and
the Emma dance.
No, we love the Emma dance. It's not your turn yet. Shut up.
I think the Emma dance could have worked if they would have kind of explained what it was. But Aiden English to me just screams an indie character. Maybe if they repackage him or something, but I'm just answering as the character that he is right now. I think he's fine for NXT, but I think if they were ever call him up, that's a guy they would have to repackage somehow because if Adam Rose isn't working, I don't see this guy doing it either.
Okay. I'm going to throw some divas in here as well. JD, I'll make sure you get all of them. All right.
Thanks.
Riche, Alexa Bliss.
I don't even know who that is.
She debuted a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah, did she lost in the semis?
She was in the tournament, yeah. She lost to Charlotte, I think.
She's the one that lost to Charlotte. Okay. Yeah. She's one of the more athletic girls. Thumbs up, because there really aren't a lot of girls, and especially a lot of girls who can work. And if she's one of the ones that can prove herself as a performer, you know, day in and day out, then like Natalia, she's going to last at least 5 years in the company.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd give her a thumbs up.
Okay.
Hey, just a quick, I Googled her. Alexa Bliss has already had a WrestleMania moment. She was one of the chicks at Triple H's entrance during WrestleMania 30.
Yep.
Charlotte was too.
Yep. Couple of NXT girls were there. Somebody else was too.
Sasha Banks, she was number three.
Back to you, Ben. Bailey.
Ah, you know, I was kind of wondering if I could ask this one, because I was just watching her match with Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a lot of fun, and I really like the character, and I'm not sure if it goes beyond NXT. She's very niche, and I think, unfortunately for her, they may have given the spot that she probably could have gotten over with to Emma,
mm-hmm.
which sucks for Emma as well, because Emma could have come up as a serious, more serious character. I don't know. I think she does connect with fans on some level. So I'm going to give a tentative thumbs up based on also what Rich said about the fact that there's a dearth of divas anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? I think she's a good enough worker and a good enough character, good enough charisma, but I could see her bouncing back down to NXT. So tentative thumbs up.
Okay. Graham, Camacho.
That's not Tyler Breeze.
We haven't gotten to Tyler Breeze yet.
This is getting really uncomfortable.
Graham just sounds angry now.
Tyler Breeze.
I'm going to go with no, because he's already been on the main roster and it didn't stick.
Mm. That is true. I'm surprised they brought him back, to be honest with you. Graham. I should say Jordan. I was going to say fake him out and give him Tyler Breeze. JD. Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. Thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's coming from me, who is not generally a fan of watching women's matches. I did see the Charlotte and Natty match. It was awesome. And just to kind of go to what Ben said about Bayley, I think where a lot of these divas may suffer is if their gimmicks work in NXT, and the reason I think of this is Emma. Paige proves me wrong, but Emma proves me right, I think. They bring these ladies up onto the main roster, and then they just kind of don't explain who they are. They don't give their characters and their gimmicks any real time to shine, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Charlotte, just her last name alone, she doesn't need to have all that. You don't need to explain who she is. She's Charlotte. She's Ric Flair's kid. Mm-hmm. You know, that's right. It, you know. And she's pretty good, too, so that helps. Hmm. So, yeah, thumbs up easily.
Okay. Rish? CJ Parker.
Thumbs down. The environmentalist thing, it's something where you could use it to your advantage as a heel, because even though the green movement is not something that you want people to boo, it is something that can become a little bit unbearable and annoying, and I can see him kind of build as a mid-card guy where you just want to see him get his ass kicked, kind of like Heath Slater, but that's probably a good app comparison, probably like Heath Slater, mm-hmm. a mid-carder to lower-carder who never makes it.
Okay. Ben, Colin Cassidy.
Thumbs down. Very shallow character. Decent enough big man worker, but as he is now, relies way too much on a gimmick that I don't really understand, and I don't think he'll ever get over with a larger audience. I compare him to a
Drew McIntyre.
No.
Even though he looks like him.
I would actually compare him to Lance Hoyt when he was in TNA.
Dallas.
And
Hoytomania.
Yeah,
Hoyt.
He could get over. He was over like Rover with, you know, a dozen people in the impact zone. But the minute he came into WWE, he was dead in the water.
I remember hearing a story that he was so over because he would go out drinking with the fans afterwards. And that's why they always cheered for him.
Yeah.
Lovely. Did he buy any rounds? Not on that salary.
I'll say this, Scott. Me and Ben did a draft of the whole roster about a month ago, mm-hmm. maybe more than that. And Colin Cassidy was probably one of the last guys we picked.
Yeah,
I think I got him.
Okay. Graham, this is not Tyler Breeze, but an interesting one, though. One that's been on a lot on NXT. Corey Graves.
Oh.
A lot of people call him Punk Light.
No, I don't know. I haven't. I watched NXT pretty regularly, but his character was not a big draw for me. It was not a reason for me to tune in. So if at the NXT level it's not a big draw for me to tune in, I don't see how that would change at the main event level.
I tend to agree a little bit. Let's go. Let me stretch this one out a little bit because this is an interesting one. What do you think, JD, of Corey Graves?
You know, Corey Graves is interesting because I can't point to anything bad that he does, but when I watch him, and tell me if this makes sense, he comes off very much like a guy acting like a pro wrestler. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah,
he's not real believable, I guess, is the thing.
But yeah.
Very much like a look at me, I'm a wrestler. Like I don't know how to explain it other than he just seems really phony to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we're all going to say the same thing, and that's that we want to say yes here, but
yeah,
there's something
you
that,
look at him.
Well, yeah.
When you say that, Jordan, do you mean like a guy who's trying too hard to seem like a wrestler, or a guy who just happens to be a wrestler but is better at other things?
No, a guy who's trying to seem like a wrestler, specifically a heel. You know, he does heel stuff. It just seems very over the top. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. And he could improve. He could improve and work on it. But as of right now, no.
The other description is what I would have made of Aiden English. He just happens to be a wrestler, but he's really good at other things, and that's why he might be a little bit more valuable than maybe a Corey Graves, who's a guy that is trying to get himself over really hard, but no one's latching on yet.
Yeah, he's just trying way too hard, I guess.
I think the thing about him is he's got a great look.
Yeah.
Like, before he does anything, just when he walks out to his entrance, you're like, oh, all right, cool, I'm excited about this guy. But then when he talks or when he wrestles, he's not – yeah, there's something off about him. I think he's almost hurt by the fact that he looks better than he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good answer.
But then again, CM Punk, when he came into ECW, got the same criteria. He's kind of bland. He doesn't do anything really out of the ordinary.
A lot
so.
Of sizzle and
really?
Not much steak.
At the time, I remember a lot of criticism about Punk at first, that he didn't do much. He wasn't a standout all the time.
From who? But Triple H?
Yeah, right. I would take bland over
Bingo.
Over this guy just doesn't seem legit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
JD. Wow, I'm going to give you another diva.
Oh, thanks.
Emma.
I only know like three of them.
Emma.
I want to say thumbs up, but I think she may be a lost cause already. But here's the good thing about the divas is, you know, with the guys on the roster, you can only beat a guy for so long before you kind of have – there's no way Kofi Kingston's ever going to be, you know, a world champion at this point. He's – lost 80% of his matches for the past 5 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With the divas, though, look at Alicia Fox. I don't know that Alicia Fox ever won a match before 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you just give them even a little bit of a push, and all of a sudden they could be in the title feud.
Right.
And so in that sense, and knowing that she can work, I'll give her a very, very small thumbs up, kind of leaning toward thumbs in the middle, just because I know she can be good. But it doesn't seem like they're behind her. It seems like they forgot about her already. Sticking her with Santino was a bad idea.
I agree.
They both thought – and I understand the reasoning, you know, the goofy people. But she's goofy for a different reason. I think that just killed her right from the start. It almost seems like they're going to have to – they got to get away from Santino for me to give a thumbs up. But I really want to because I like Emma. I think she's pretty good.
Okay.
And I think talent does win out in the end there.
Mm. Rish. The Ascension.
Thumbs up. You know, with especially even with the Shield gone, you still have two guys, even though I don't think that's what the end game is there. They're going to break up as singles. So with the Shield gone and Evolution being a temporary thing for now, it's obvious that you need a few more tag teams to kind of get things going. And the Ascension is kind of in the vein of like the Legion of Doom or
even –
Yeah, even Doom with Ron Simmons and Butch Reed, just guys who just, you know, kick all kinds of ass, and they don't take anything from anybody. Even in the TakeOver match that they had, I don't remember exactly who they wrestled, but it was a match that was pretty long, and they didn't completely just like job them out, but they looked pretty good even in the even in the process of really having a one-sided win. So they can work a little bit. Conor O'Brien went to NXT long, long time before it was the NXT we know now. So I don't know too much about Ross Victor, but I know that they're big. They have a great entrance. And sometimes that's all you need in the WWE. If you got those two made in the shade, then you got the rest made in the shade when it comes to getting over as a performer. And when you got a tag team like that that have the same type of direction and they're both on target with what type of moves they perform, they're probably going to be tag team champions within about a year. So
Andrew,
it comes out.
How can you forget who they fought at NXT TakeOver, man?
Who was
it? It was Luchadors. It was El Locale, right?
Yeah. It was Ricardo Rodriguez in a mask and some other dude.
How do you know who El Local is? You say like
El Local.
The local.
The locals.
El Locale and Kalisto.
But I'll say this, even for a match that looked like a jobber match, it actually went about 8 or 10 minutes. And they actually it actually had a little bit of back and forth, and Ascension just eventually did their dominant stuff down the stretch, and they are dominant, and people like tag teams. Like, that's why Chronic got over, for Christ's sakes. And they weren't even good, you know?
Oh, these guys are better than Chronic.
That's what I'm saying. If they're better than Chronic, they're going to get over.
Okay.
Was that Jordan? I'm sorry.
Don't say that to Chad Campbell.
I don't like to talk to Chad Campbell.
All right. Benjamin? Mojo Rawley.
Oh.
please say the right words.
Yeah, we our friendship might end if you get this wrong, Ben.
Thumbs down. Come on,
down with the terrapins.
What is he like? What's his gimmick? That he's on crack? Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it. You know what? Take what I said about Colin Cassidy and multiply it by 100. he's got some weird. It's. I like the NXT arena crowd because it seems like they will cheer just about anything, which is kind of endearing. But yeah, man, if you put Mojo Rawley out there in front of a WWE crowd, I don't think they'd know what to make of him. They would think some guy got loose from the PCP farm or something. Is that a thing? Do they make PCP on farms?
Ken Casey made a living doing that.
Yeah, no, thumbs down. Mojo Rawley can stick around NXT. Yeah, actually, his role on TakeOver, we just got the crap kicked out of him by Rusev. But that was probably the peak of his usefulness.
Okay. Ben, I'm very disappointed by your inability to not only get hyped, but stay hyped.
Well, it's like he's supposed to be a big fat guy, but he's not.
Yeah, right.
Like, his offense is fat guy offense.
Yes.
And he's got the mobility of a fat guy, really.
Mojo Rawley or King Kong Bundy? Yeah.
It's like a fat guy who's like, I'm on fire. I'm running really hard. And you look at him in real life and he's jogging like very, very, very slowly. And it's like, dude, really, give it up.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Graham. Tyler Breeze.
I'm sorry. I'm Googling PCP farm right now.
I finally...
I want to know where these things are located. Maybe he used to be a really fat guy, and then he got on PCP.
That's
his gimmick. He just hasn't been given time to tell it yet.
If that's his gimmick, then maybe thumbs up.
Yeah. Walter White is in. He's maybe cooking meth in the bottom of the NXT Full Sail University, making all these kids high on crystal meth. That would actually be over.
Maybe during his entrance and he comes out and the ring announcer says, formerly weighing 600 pounds.
I'll tell you, when Vince McMahon gets around to watching Breaking Bad in 10 years, Mojo Rawley is going to have a really promising
10 <minute. years. laughs> And the TNA will have it 10 years after that.
Well, wait till he gets around to zombies in about 2025.
No, it'll be 10 years for Vince and 25 for Dixie. All right, Graham, your boy.
Okay, tell everybody.
TB.
It's thumbs up because when you mate Ben Stiller and Rick Martel, you cannot lose. That's money. And I eagerly await his WrestleMania entrance.
Oh, God.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
That'll be a huge selfie.
And unlike screen. Derek Zoolander, he does turn left.
And a huge selfie screen. Oh, my God, it'll be massive.
Yep.
JD.
Yes.
Rusev.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I think it's already starting to. I think people are starting to respond to him. I think I'm starting to come around on him. I don't love him, but I don't change the channel when he's on. I liked the Big E match. I'm a sucker for big powerhouses just smacking each other around. And I think he needs a – I would really – you know who I think would work well with him is Sheamus. I'd like to see Sheamus, which is kind of funny, Sheamus stick up for America, the Irish guy, you know.
Yeah.
But he does need that one feud. He's been around for a while now, and we can tell that he's racist. That's what we've learned so far. He's beat up every black guy in the roster. But yeah, I think thumbs up.
Including Mojo Rawley. Right,
we can't tell.
His name's Mojo. I don't know. Maybe I should. You know.
All right. Here's an interesting one.
Actually,
I just think thumbs up.
Yeah, go ahead. Before you go on, I want to jump in on Rusev real quick.
Sure.
I'm not totally sold on Rusev yet, and I was at first. And I think part of the reason, the same way we say Mojo Rawley is a normal guy who wrestles like a fat guy, it feels like Rusev is supposed to be wrestling like a monster, but when you really look at him, he's just not that.
Kind of like that Taz. Big.
Like Taz. He's not that big. He's not that – he's like Taz without promo skills. So I don't know. I worry that – the star of that gimmick is Lana, and
so it's Taz with a valet 500 times better looking than Bill Alfonso.
Would you call him a slightly slower version of Brock Lesnar?
No,
Brock is an entirely different beast.
Well, when I say thumbs up, I don't think he's going to be a huge star, but I don't see him going anywhere for a while.
I don't think he's terrible, but I don't think he's any better than say Tensai, and Tensai couldn't get over. I think eventually when they find something else for Lana to do, he will not survive on his own. Mm-hmm. I think she's the reason he's over.
Yeah.
I think you could just repackage him as somebody's muscle. Tyler Breeze could hire him as his bodyguard. There you go. You know,
I don't think he's going to be the monster that some people expect or want him to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Interesting. So we've officially figured out that the PC,
We figured out that Russian people take PCP while going to the University of Maryland.
Yeah. The University of Maryland. Okay. Who are we up to? Who'd I ask about Rusev? JD, you did. Okay, Rish. Here's an interesting one. I may go around the whole horn with everybody. Sami Zayn.
You know, for NXT, he's a thumbs up, like, enthusiastically. Like Roger Ebert, way, way, way up. But in terms of the WWE... man, it's just like in the same vein as Daniel Bryan because he's an incredible underdog. He's like a prospect. He's like a five-tool prospect. He's a guy that can really do it all. But I don't know if he can be a heel and if you have to go that way. And I'm not sure what his durability is yet. He's taken such a pounding from his indie days up to Ring of Honor up to now with all the matches he has in NXT. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if Vince is going to be sold on him or Triple H is going to be sold on him compared to guys that are getting over and getting in front of him like Tyler Breeze and Adrian Neville and Bray Wyatt and guys who have gotten the call before he did. So I want to say – I really, really want to say thumbs up, but I'm grading him a little harder than the others, and I'll give him – of thumbs in the middle when it comes to the WWE if I could cheat, because I just don't know if WWE is going to give him the proper respect because he's an incredible talent. When it comes to talent, if you really max out what he can do, oh my God, he could be a main event guy within about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. He is that good.
What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, he's a conundrum on this particular game. He is talented beyond belief, like Andrew just said, but I just don't know where he fits. That's the problem in the vision of WWE, that landscape. I mean, I don't know, man. He's a weird character. Like Andrew just said, his whole character in NXT is that he's the underdog. I don't know how that's going to play. I'm going to be optimistic and say thumbs up. I'm going to say, even though I don't know if Vince necessarily sees it, I don't know if the powers that be necessarily see it, I think crowds love him. People chant Olay, like even without really knowing what's going on. And I think he has this weird charisma. He could be a Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. I don't think there'll ever be another Daniel Bryan, but he could be a Daniel Bryan on a lesser scale.
Right.
It's a matter of opportunity. If they let him go out there and work, it'll be interesting. The other knock there is that he's really gotten over in long matches in mm-hmm. NXT, stuff that goes, 20 minutes. Once, and this will be something that'll be a test for a lot of the NXT guys, is that when they put him out there and he has to work a 3-minute match on Raw, can he get over doing that? Can he survive a year of, being in the mid card and trading wins and losses? I don't know. Sami Zayn's a big question mark. I want to say he'll do well, but I'm not sure.
What do you think of him, Graham?
I think he will connect with the fans. But, yeah, I mean, going back to what others have said, can he survive in that year of the mid-card after his hot debut where he's really kind of put on the back burner? Mm-hmm. So we've seen Cesaro in that spot. We've seen Daniel Bryan in that spot, and they survived it. But there have been many others who did not. I would like to see it, but it'll be test of time on that one.
Okay. Any of these announcers, do you think Byron Saxton will go anywhere, JD? Or any of these announcers? Not counting Regal and what's his name now, Jason Tensai or whatever the fuck.
I think Renee Young could.
She's been trying to. ESPN wants her.
Yeah. Hey, let me talk about Sami Zayn.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Because. Okay, mark it down. It's June 11th. I'm going to be the optimist here. I think he could be a huge thumbs up. I thought everyone was going to say that. I think besides Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio, this guy might be the best babyface wrestler that they've had in the company in 15 to 20 years in terms of underdog babyface.
Mm-hmm.
He's just such a natural, great babyface wrestler. He can get the crowd behind him, and I think I understand what you guys are saying, where will Triple H get behind him or Vince, and maybe they won't, but I fully believe the crowd will, and I think he could be a huge deal, and I think his low selling point is to be the guy that is on the shows that bumps around for people. I definitely think he's going to get up there and get a thumbs up. I think his worst he could be is an Evan Bourne.
Kofi
Kingston.
Yeah, oh, I think he'll be. I think he's better than Kofi Kingston though. But somebody said, what can he do in the 3-minute matches? He's got some really crazy offense that he could bust out. And I understand that. Yeah, he's better when he has time to sell and tell that story. So if he gets some pay per view matches, that's where he could really shine. But even in just short spurts, he does some really innovative stuff, just simple stuff like the dive through the bottom rope across the corner. Who else does that stuff?
Yeah.
I think he has the potential to be a huge thumbs up. And I think of him as Daniel Bryan and a Rey Mysterio, almost like a hybrid in terms of babyface selling and offense. A little more flashy than Daniel Bryan, but sells just the same. I think he could be a huge deal.
I hope so too, because I think there's two fears there. Number one, now that NXT is on the network and everyone watches him, he's so impressive that people want to say, well, he's the next Daniel Bryan. He's an underdog. Everybody cheers for the underdog. He's going to get over eventually. What I think we're going to realize over the years is that what happened with Daniel Bryan is it may have been a one-time only thing where happened. It was special to Daniel, and it's something that you really can't. You can't reproduce, like the same thing with Cesaro. Like Cesaro's heat, it's really heavy heat, but it's different. It's not the same as Daniel's. Sammy's got to build his way up there, and that's my second fear, is that he's got to go all the way through that mid-card doldrums and find his way and then ascend. But I think he could pull it off if he's determined enough and if the bookers get behind him.
Yeah, I don't know, he's the next Daniel Bryan. I don't see him headlining WrestleMania winning the title anytime soon. But you look at Mysterio a few years back when Rey was still really, really good, and he was just out there having good matches with everybody, being one of the most solid guys on the roster. I think Sami Zayn can fit into that slot really, really easily and just go out there and steal the show on most nights. Yeah, I don't know that he's the next Daniel Bryan just in terms of star power, but he does remind me of him because Daniel Bryan's one of the best underdog babyface storytellers they have. The only problem, Andrew, and I think you'd agree, is they don't tend to do underdogs stories very good in WWE.
So. No, but the one thing that they've done better in WWE in the last few years is that if you're able to steal the show with great matches more often than not,
they tend to reward it eventually.
You will get over. It happened to Daniel Bryan. It happened to The Shield. If you really rock, if you tear the house down every week or every month and the results show, they will hand you the prize.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah. And when we say, you know, does Vince have faith in him? Does Triple H have faith in him? I think Triple H has faith in him because I think that's the benefit of these guys. If you're coming out of NXT, Triple H has faith in you. That's his system.
You're handpicked.
Yeah. That's his system. You're his guys. He's going to stick up for you. And that's one benefit that, say, a Sami Zayn or even, you know, some of the other guys we've mentioned are going to have over a lot of the OVW or FCW guys is that Triple H is on your side. And he wants to see you succeed. If you get bumped up to the main roster, you're definitely going to get a shot.
Mm. Yep. It's better to be a Triple H guy than a Johnny Ace guy, that's for sure.
Well, think about what the old FCW used to be when Teddy Hart and DiBiase, they all got
Smiley.
Pulled. They were all drunk and they all got pulled out and they were not working and it was a mess down there. And they cleaned it up and Triple H kind of put it in line and then NXT was created. So
it was even worse in OVW when they had Jim Cornette and Paul Heyman, and they were almost anti WWE. They were trying to do something that was against what the WWE wanted. And by the time they raised them up to the WWE, they were prospects that were told.
Did he just lose some oxygen?
I think he's finally done.
The air conditioning went out. He cramped.
He cramped.
How many guests have actually died on the show?
Only five.
Only five. Oh, we have a problem. Oh, looks like there's a problem with this call. Oh, Reach is having issues. All right. Anyway, great. That was a great exercise, guys. Thanks for your input.
That was great.
It was good. And kind of we'll approach the subject again in a few months when I think a couple more call-ups. There's one news story I want to talk about, particularly with Graham here. As we all know, WWE is planning on doing a DVD documentary, finally, on Macho Man Randy Savage. We already have the 3-disc that came out a couple years ago that was all matches. Mm-hmm. Now there's going to be a documentary involved. One of the things that I think will get people talking, apparently they are going to address the long-standing rumor about Stephanie McMahon. Now, WWE has commented publicly, so this will be the first and probably last time it'll ever be addressed. For those that don't know the rumor, basically Randy Savage had physical relations with Stephanie when she was 17, allegedly. Since no one's confirmed or denied the rumor, it's kind of like blown up and Risha vanished. I think the oxygen left his house altogether. All right. I'll have to get him back in a minute.
You don't have to.
No, not really. We don't have to. That made me lose my train of thought, the fucker. Okay. The speculation was that Vince.
Yeah.
Here's the speculation. Vince did not find out till several years after Randy left the company. Lanny Poffo did come out this year and address it. The story he gave, and I'm curious your thoughts, Graham, because I don't know if you've ever actually talked to either of these guys in your travails. The story he gave, Lanny Poffo, was that some of the bitterness that Randy had towards Vince goes back to 1987. When the company held a Legends Battle Royal on a house show, and Vince did not use Randy's father, Angelo Poffo. Randy, according to Lanny, never forgot that and held on to some resentment since then. I'm not sure about that. Then there was some resentment toward Randy because he was being used as an announcer toward the end of his run in 93-94 when he felt he had a lot left in the tank as a performer. However, the thing that caused the big rift between Vince and Savage, this is according to Lanny, most of this is coming from Lanny, was the Billionaire Ted skits. He got really pissed off at being Nacho Man, apparently. In 2002, Randy released a video on his membership website ripping on Stephanie and Triple H. And that's where I think a lot of people think the Stephanie Savage rumors got started, and no one's confirmed or denied them. Poffo also said that Randy did not want to go into the Hall of Fame unless the entire family was inducted. We've heard that plenty of times. Part of that was because of how he felt his father was treated in 87, and he felt that if the Von Erichs could go in altogether, then they can induct the whole Poffo family. I don't find that comparison, because name me one Von Erich kid that even comes close to Randy Savage's status. Lanny also revealed that Vince did reach out to Randy for the 2010 Hall of Fame back in, what was it, Phoenix. That was the year, I think, what, DiBiase went in, right? And Randy said no. So, Graham, in your travails, have you ever talked to Angelo Poffo or Lanny Poffo about this? Did these things ever come up? Did you ever talk with them in your time, like in the times you've been at conventions and stuff?
No, but I've heard those stories before.
Hmm. I'm curious because are you back, Oxygen Man?
Yeah, back? I also sucked it all up.
Yeah, I thought Ben's dog attacked you or something. We were talking, Reesh, about the fact that Savage DVD that's coming out, they're actually going to address the whole Stephanie McMahon thing. Let me take a poll here. I'll start with you, Graham. Do you really believe it? Do you think it really happened?
I think it's when you say they're going to address it, who's saying this to begin with?
This was off of what site was this? WrestlingNews.co.
Is it news with an S or news with a Z?
With an S. It's people.
That
yeah,
makes it's incredible.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's news with an S. Believe it. If it was news with a Z, I wouldn't even have read it. But news with an S.
It's like Dudley Boys.
This was. When would this article come up? This was last week, June 5th.
I don't know. If there's nothing to it, there's nothing to address.
My personal opinion. I think a lot of it's Lanny. I think Lanny's trying to pine for a slot in the Hall. And now knowing that Randy can't
I don't think Lanny cares that much.
I can't see Randy holding that much resentment all. I mean, he was world champion twice. The guy was a stud from like 85 to 92. He was a beast.
Yeah, but you know
well,
what?
Well, yeah, but you can still have that thing in the back of your head going, that was kind of bullshit.
And if you ever hear anyone tell stories about Randy Savage, like anyone who's done interviews, anything else, like they always talk about how deeply committed he was to his family, his father in particular. Mm. Like he was very, very loyal to him. Like always made sure he was taken care of in WCW. You saw him going to the Hall of Fame there, and just like, you know, had a very deep loyalty. And just a lot of stories have been written by credible journalists, and a lot of interviews have been given by his peers. I don't think it's a stretch. I'm not as skeptical as you are, Scott, about the whole he wouldn't go in unless his whole family was in thing. That seems like the type of thing that Randy Savage would do, because I don't think he felt like he needed to be in the Hall of Fame. That doesn't, to me, fit his personality, mm-hmm. particularly how he was in his final years, where he was very reclusive, did not want to cash in on his fame, stuff like that. I think I could very easily see that. I believe that, honestly, before I believe the Steph stuff.
I feel like that would have come out. Happening. How does Stephanie not say anything all these years and not have?
Well, you know, more than that too is you've never heard any sort of stories about Stephanie and anyone but Macho Man. I mean, if she's willing to sleep with a guy who's 40 when she's 17, you'd think that maybe there'd be more than one guy as well. You know, I've never heard any stories about her besides that one. Have you?
Wait a minute, you and Tugboat? I mean. Dink?
He went right through the shock wall.
My God, you and Damian Demento?
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Well, didn't she date Test? But that was in the later years, right?
Test was like 30, and she was, what, 22?
That's different, yeah. She
had just Test wasn't 50.
They almost got married.
Yeah.
Triple H ruined it.
Somebody wrecked that.
Until that stupid asshole Triple H ruined it all.
Yep. Now Test will be running this company. Yeah, I didn't think so.
The authorities.
I'm kind of curious about that as well. But I mean, we were all very happy at the beginning of 2010 when we finally were able to put Montreal to bed and Sean and Brett hugged, and now we don't have to talk about it anymore. Thank God. This is another thing I'm looking forward to not having to talk about anymore. I just wanted to bring it up as the DVD was coming. But after that, whatever they say about it, let's hope that, you know.
Well, Scott, do you think since the DVD is coming that means maybe they're going to finally induct him into the Hall of Fame?
I'd like to see them do it eventually.
DVD deals usually seem to be like their olive branch with people.
Yeah. I definitely think you're going to see one for Kurt Angle.
But when it comes to Randy, who are you extending the olive branch to? You know, the only ones still alive now are Lanny and Rainey's mother.
Lanny's been on DVDs.
Yeah.
So he's obviously Lanny
was a lot of network stuff.
Lanny was at Access.
Yeah. So he's in the know.
Yeah.
But I think they're like, look, we love you, Lanny, and everything, but your brother needs to go in on his own, and that's it.
Yeah.
Your dad.
They did a Randy Savage one, I think, in either 2009 or 2010. It was terrific.
That's right. I said that when you were
not a comprehensive documentary.
No, there's no documentary. But at the time, I think we all just wanted matches, and we got three discs of greatness. I mean, every match, mm-hmm. almost every match on that.
The story will be told in the DVD when they release it. But the story of Randy is the saddest because they didn't one of the saddest because. Vince and him never got closure. They never really got that.
That was the death. Yeah, that was the death that I think really rocked everybody because, he was so overwhelming beyond wrestling. I mean, everyone, you know, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you remember the Slim Jim commercials and all that stuff. And he was kind of back in the fold when that weird like cartoony video game came out, that All Stars or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was doing vignettes for it. So I think he was just on the cusp.
I think that was in partnership with the video game company, not with the WWE direct.
Yeah, but still, he could have turned that down.
Yeah, he could have turned that down. You don't – yeah.
Stick it in Vince's face.
I'm so sorry. I'm wrong. It was the action figure company. He had done a vignette for the action figure.
Right, but this was for the game. He did one for the game, too.
Yeah, same thing applies. If he could have turned it down.
He could have said, no, I'm not working with these guys. I don't care.
Yeah, that was actually not too long before he died, about the summer.
It was like a few months before.
Yeah.
By the way – thanks to the history of WWE.com, I have found the Legends Battle Royal results from 1987.
Wow.
It took place in November in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Luthez won the Battle Royal.
Oh, it wasn't Andre?
Wow. No, who was in it?
He was not a legend in 87. He was still a main eventer.
Yeah, he's still a main eventer. That's true. Who was in the Battle Royal?
Oh, here we go. Luthez last eliminated Pat O'Connor. Other participants included Nick Bockwinkel, Bobo Brazil, Gino Brito, don't even know who that is.
Wow.
Edward Carpenter, Al Costello, The Crusher, Dominic DiNucci, Tony Garea, Rene Goulet, Gene Kaniski, Killer Kowalski, Pedro Morales, Baron Mikkel Skikluna.
Baron Mikkel Skikluna, yeah.
That's what I said, yeah. Arnold Scallon, Ray Stevens, Chief J. Strongbow, and Art Thomas.
Art Donovan?
Art Adano? Founder of Wendy's.
Oh, wait,
that's Dave Thomas.
What up?
I'm glad Luthez was able to finally get his win back from Vince
not letting him be NWA champion.
It even lists the order of elimination and how they were eliminated. This is a great website that you should all check out. The history of WWE.com.
I bet that was as fun to watch as those All-Star games where they had the old-timers game. Yeah. I bet it was about as fun as that in the 80s.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Those guys.
I remember when they had George Mikan jogging down the court on a fast break.
Did you ever meet Luthez, Graham?
He's talking to him right now.
He's got that mute thing going again. Yes, Reese, did you let him use your Skype? Jesus Christ. Lord.
It's crazy. On that same show, they had the Legends Battle Royal, and then they had another Battle Royal right after that with the current guys. Two Battle Royals right in a row.
And Luthez
did win that?
Two.
No, Jake the Snake won that one.
Wow.
By eliminating Luthez.
Yeah, I don't see Andre on that card at all. Wow. Yeah, he eliminated Luthez. Luthez won the Battle Royal. He won a spot in the next Battle Royal.
It's like Battle Bowl.
Oh, God.
They win one Battle Royal, they get to the other Battle Royal.
It's like terrible tag team tournaments. Graham, you there?
We're not talking about TNA yet, are we?
Who? Where's – did Graham – what happened to him? He's there, right? Are you still on mute? Jordan, whose website was that again?
Graham Cawthon's, thehistoryofwwe.com.
Tremendous website. Well,
there's books you can buy there too.
There's a few, yeah, three or four, I think. Gentlemen,
I'd like to do a podcast with that guy someday.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
He'd probably leave early.
And then
he might be cooking meth with Mojo Rawley.
Yep. Yeah, it looks like his connection went away.
Oh, Mojo got hyped again. He's gonna have to calm him down.
Unfortunately, JD's line is still on. Anyway, all right. It has been a pleasure, guys. Thank you for. Oh, did he come back?
Maybe.
There you are. What are you in the PCP farm over there? What's going on?
No, I was talking the whole time, just no one could hear me.
Ugh, you and your mute button. What I asked, so
I say
what time?
So to re-ask, had you ever met Luthez?
Not without the Ouija board.
That's what we thought you were doing.
Yes. Hey, JD, read some of those names again. We're going to see if Graham knew
any of them. Oh, hang on. I closed the site.
Oh, we were talking about this great site, Graham. That
you
has
never closed the site.
That,
No, you close it and you
reopen.
Well,
by closing it, then you get another hit. Yeah.
It's like you don't cross the stream. You never close the site.
Oh. Rest in peace, Harold Ramis.
Oh, God. So who's going to be at, before we go, Graham, who's going to be at NWA Fan Fest this year?
You're talking like I'm on the payroll.
You're not. You almost are.
No.
Hey, we gave you at least five cheap plugs.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, I will have a vendor table there. If you want to come down, it'll be fun times. And it's my birthday weekend, so it'll be definitely fun times.
Oh, even better.
I'm trying to think of who the names are that are announced so far. Vader, Harley Race.
The rematch.
Was there a match?
Oh, no, there was a fight at a convention I was at in Jersey where Vader smacked his like handler across the head, and Harley, you know, grizzled and everything, got up with his cane and started beating Vader in the head with it. It was awesome. Vader's just one of those unlikable guys. I hope he's much better to you, because he was just not fun at the one convention I was at.
Dusty Rhodes is going to be there, so he can talk about all the times that he made millions of dollars in main event in WrestleMania.
Woohoo!
It seems like a pretty loaded show. They've got Nigel McGuinness. They're going to have a training, evaluation that weekend for independent wrestlers, and for I think it's a Reed Flair scholarship.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be good times. I hope it can draw a good crowd. Mm. It'll be fun.
Yes, definitely. It's the first weekend in August in Charlotte. Yes. Well, guys, that'll just about wrap things up. Graham, a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on your debut performance here on the main event. You were great as always. Before you go, pimp the books. Where can anyone buy your fine literature?
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Random, weird, other online retailers, and eBay, and maybe Craigslist.
If you're trying to go on a date with a one-armed woman, please buy WWE book.
If you meet someone on Tinder, maybe they'll have it.
Sign Mojo Rawley.
And if you're gonna buy it on Amazon.com, why not just go through PlaceToBeNation.com? Welcome, Brad.
Because wait, I don't.
Did he just text you from Colorado, or wherever the heck he is?
That's your one-stop pop for all your pop culture needs.
One-stop pop.
Hey, quiet.
If you want to sell your kidney and buy a book, go to Craigslist.
A lawnmower. Oh boy, Graham, pleasure as always. We definitely would love to have you back on.
Yeah.
That'll do it for this week's episode of The Main Event. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We will preview. It always works out perfectly. We will preview Money in the Bank, as the paper will be that coming Sunday. And we'll preview all the matches and get our predictions. So, for Ben Morse, Jordan Duncan, Andrew Reich, and the great Graham Gothon, I am Scott Criscolo. You're in The Main Event. Have a great 2 weeks.
What if Mojo Rawley wins the title?
Hey, shut up.
Hey, Ben.
We need to talk about TNA.
Ben, what do you think of Nashville?
Do you have TNA results on your site?
That was funny. Just don't know what to do because Costello's in scrambled
eggs. Calling again. Quite stylish. What do you do with Costello's in scrambled eggs? A world full of circles and those square pegs. The blues is always calling us salads and scrambled eggs. They're making me ya-ya. The salads and scrambled eggs. The blues is always calling us salads and scrambled eggs.
Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya-ya.
They're calling again.